Welcome to the Far and Beyond podcast, hosted by the Contracts and Fiscal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School, the podcast where we navigate the ever-shifting landscape of federal procurement and fiscal law. I'm Major Ellie Sewell.
And I'm Major Jason Floyd, and together, we are your co-hosts. Today, we're actually diving into a super fun topic, Ellie. We're going to talk about something that touches almost every procurement we see, and that's the Small Business Administration. So the story we're going to tell is its unique and sometimes friction-filled relationship with the Department of War.
And it's a perfect time to talk about this, Jason, because with the fiscal year 2025 and the 2026 NDA provisions swirling and major legal shifts in the 8A program, understanding how we got here is the only way to understand also where we're going.
What's 8A? Never heard of her.
We'll talk about 8A.
Yeah, big changes afoot, that's for sure. So set the stage for us then, Ellie. The SBA has not always been the agency we know today, right? It feels like it was born out of modern bureaucracy.
So this actually surprised me when I was doing research for this episode. I was thinking the SBA kind of started in the 80s or 90s with a lot of the reforms that came out during that time frame.
Sure.
It's actually a direct descendant of World War II efforts. So before the SBA, there was the Reconstruction Finance Corporation,
RFC,
created by President Hoover in 1932 to deal with the Depression. But during the war, Congress realized that small producers were getting crushed by war-induced material shortages and couldn't get defense contracts.
So the Department of War was actually the original reason for small business advocacy?
Actually, yes.
Wow.
So in 1942, Congress created the Smaller War Plants Corporation, SWPC, specifically to help small firms assist with defense production. It could actually loan money to entrepreneurs and advocate for them directly to federal agencies. After the war, we had the Small Defense Plants Administration, SDPA, during the Korean War, which works similarly with the RFC.
It's funny how so much of our history is tied to war.
It really is.
So what happened later? Did President Eisenhower step in?
Yes. So 1953 was the big year. Eisenhower signed the Small Business Act, creating the SBA to aid, counsel, assist, and protect the interests of small businesses to preserve free, competitive enterprise. Most importantly for us, it charged the SBA with ensuring small businesses get a fair proportion of government contracts. It's hard to think that this is actually over 75 years old now.
Golly.
I know.
Man, 1990 will always be like a decade ago.
Yes. Yeah.
So fair proportion, you said, right? That's the phrase that like launched 1,000 protests. Does the SBA actually lend money directly to those businesses like the old wartime agencies did?
No, so not anymore. With the exception of disaster loans, the SBA stopped most direct lending in the late 80s and 90s because the subsidy rate was way too high. Now they mostly guarantee loans issued by banks like the 7A or 504 programs to share the risk.
Ah, gotcha. So what about our world though, right? Department of War and Contracting. How did we go from just advocating for those businesses to like the percentage goals that we have nowadays?
So this was a slow evolution. So in 1978, Congress required agency heads to set goals in consultation with the SBA. Then the 1988 Business Opportunity Development Reform Act set the first government-wide goal of 20% for prime contracts, which was later bumped to 23% in 1997.
And then the categories started like becoming more diverse, right?
Yeah, so pricely. So in 94, when we had a lot of other things happening in 94 in the world of contracts, FASA, we got the 5% women-owned, so WOSB goal. In 97, the 3% hub zone goal. And in 99, the 3%, now 5%, service-disabled veteran-owned goal.
Nice. And that brings us to the present day, right? So like thinking back to my time at a contracting brigade and all that scorecard data, the government usually hits the 23% overall goal, but we've historically struggled with a couple of them, right?
Yes, usually with the hub zone or the woman-owned small business. And that's where the legal administrative heavy lifting happens in our offices. For the practitioners listening, let's talk about the rule of two. Jason, when does a contracting officer have to set aside a contract for small businesses?
Ooh, I know this one. So in the RFO, we look at section 19.104-1 alpha, and it says if the contract is between the micro-purchase threshold and the SAT, or the simplified acquisition threshold, then it's a total set aside for small businesses, unless you can prove that you won't get two or more competitive offers. That's the rule of two. And if it's above the simplified acquisition threshold, you still have to set it aside if there's a reasonable expectation of getting offers from at least two responsible small businesses at fair market prices.
So, and it used to be that before you do a general small business set aside for large acquisitions, you must first consider social economic programs. However, in the RFO, that section has been deleted.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. So now you still have to look at the general guidance in 19.101 for when you should be looking at the socioeconomic programs.
Nice. Okay. So speaking of, right, where our topic is 8A, things have gotten a little spicy lately, right?
Spicy is an understatement. The 8A program is unique because the SBA actually contracts with us and then subcontracts to the participant. But the Ultima Services Corp versus USDA ruling in 2023 changed everything.
All right, so right, the presumption of social disadvantage, right? For years, certain groups were presumed disadvantaged, and now all those applicants and many of the current participants have to submit a personal narrative to prove that social disadvantage. Am I right?
Yes, and in early 2026, the current SBA administrator ordered a full-scale audit and suspended over 1,000 firms for failing to provide financial documents. This is causing huge ripples in our acquisition timelines because we have to verify the status of our 8A partners more rigorously than ever.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It used to be that 8As were like the easy button, right? But now they're really not.
Yeah, it's a bit more of a headache, I think.
Yeah, and then I don't really know too much about this, but tell me about the Mentor Protege program.
Ooh, I did a lot of these. So this one has come with its own issues, but the SBA Mentor Protege program is a government-wide and focuses on helping small businesses get prime contracts through joint ventures. This is actually a specific DOW program. The DOW program is agency-specific and focuses on subcontracts and suppliers.
And the incentives between the two different agencies seem different, right? In the DOW program, we can actually reimburse mentors, if I understand it right, for certain costs, and then maybe even give them credit towards subcontracting goals at like a multiplier, a 2x, 3x. That's a pretty big tool for our large primes who are trying to hit those difficult subcontracting targets.
Mm-hmm. We should also mention the gatekeepers our attorneys work with every day, the PCRs and the OSDBUs.
So PCRs are the Procurement Center representatives, and those are SBA employees stationed at major buying activities. They have the power to appeal a KO's decision not to set something aside. And if a PCR recommends a set aside and the KO rejects it, they have to document the rationale. And the SBA can take that all the way to the HCA, or the head of the contracting activity, or even the secretary.
And within the Department of War, we have the Office of Small Business Programs, which is our version of the SDBU, required by the Small Business Act. They aren't just there for policy. They help firms with prompt and accelerated payments.
I remember prompt and accelerated payments being a big thing from the fiscal year 20 mm-hmm. NDAA. Now, the agencies have a goal of paying small business primes and even large primes that subcontract to small businesses within like 15 days of a proper invoice, which is a big difference, right, to mm-hmm. both us and them, right? That's a lot of work to do within the 15 days to make sure it's a proper invoice. But it's also important for them because cash flow is mission critical for smaller vendors.
It is. So before we wrap up, we have to talk about the Revolutionary for Our Overhaul real quick and the fiscal 2026 NDAA reforms.
Oh, does that mean we get to talk about the RFO's part 19 in another episode?
Yes, we will be following up all of this with the newest updates to FAR part 19.
Fantastic.
There's been several.
Yeah, I hear there's a ton.
So, and then 2026 NDAA is trying to make it easier for new firms to enter the defense market by allowing DOW to look at non-governmental past performance and increasing the thresholds for certified cost and pricing data, or TINA.
Yeah, it's all about this like move fast and break thing mentality.
Right? Yes. So from the smaller war plans corporation in 1942 to the AI-driven cybersecurity pilot programs in 2026, the SBA's mission has remained remarkably consistent, ensuring that the small guys can survive and thrive in a market dominated by the giants.
This has been a fantastic 10 minutes of pure history and regulation. Ellie, any final words?
Just remember, the SBA isn't just a separate agency. They are part of our acquisition team. Whether it's a certificate of competency, review, or a size protest, knowing the SBA rules is as important as knowing the DFARS or FAR.
Well put.
Thank you for joining us today in this episode of Far and Beyond. Please make sure to follow us and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. We love to hear from our listeners. Please continue to reach out to us on Facebook and LinkedIn. The information can be found in the show notes from today's episode. The views expressed today are those of the presenters, not that of the Judge Advocate General Corps, the Department of the Army, Department of the Air Force, or the Department of War.